and thanks for listening to Out There Today. I'm your host, Ruthie. Today is Friday, September 19th, 2025. I'm live in the studio with a very special guest, Alex Jarrett. Alex is Northampton's Ward 5 City Councilor, and we're here to talk about the budget. Alex? Hi, Alex. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well.
Great. So the budget, it's very exciting. Money, money, money. It comes from somewhere, it goes somewhere, and it's a mystery in between for many of us. Is it a mystery for you?
Well, I've certainly learned a lot in the last 6 years. It'll be almost 6 years that I've been serving. I ran initially 6 years ago. So that's when I felt like I knew nothing, but kind of had to pretend I knew some things. So I've learned a lot about it, and I think that understanding the budget and having having the information that we need helps us to make good choices, whether that's when you're on the council or when you're trying to choose what candidate to vote for.
Right, because we had preliminary elections this past Tuesday, and then there's going to be elections in November too, and different candidates have different opinions about how money should be spent.
Yes, and that's actually not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's not an opinion about how money should be spent. That's the problem. The problem is if you're making claims that you can spend money on things that add up to more than we have. And so that's really where I want to get the information out, so that everyone has a basic grasp of municipal budgeting, how it works in the city of Northampton, in the state of Massachusetts, and what parts are dictated by the state as far as how we have to operate, mm-hmm. what leeways we have as a city.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see you have a lot of notes there. You've come prepared, as you often seem to be. I appreciate that. Should I ask you some more questions, or do you want to start from your outline?
You can ask a couple questions, and then...
Okay. So, how big is Northampton's budget?
Yeah, so... here's a key element of it, is that we have two different parts of our budget. We have what's called a general fund. Okay. And that is money comes in with tax revenue, mostly property taxes, but also mm-hmm. motor vehicle excise tax and hotel, motel, cannabis, short-term rental, meals. All of these taxes mm-hmm. come in and they go into the general fund. And we also get support from the state, and we have other miscellaneous income like interest on any reserves that we have. And all of that funds the general operations of the city, the schools, public safety, DPW, arts and culture, health and human services. All of that's part of the general fund. And that's, give approximate numbers because I don't have the exact details in front of me, but you know, $120 million is about where our budget is for the general fund.
Mm-hmm. And there's like 30,000 people in Northampton. So is that all that money coming from the 30,000 people that live in Northampton?
Well, certainly for property tax, it is. Some people live out of town, and own property here. But generally, you know, rents and such are generated by the people who live here, whether that's residential or commercial or industrial. But then meals tax, cannabis tax, all of the local services, local revenue that comes in that's not a property tax. Could be generated or a motor vehicle excise tax that's generated by people who live here. But all of those other things are generated both by people who live here who patronize the restaurants and other stores, but also people who come in from out of town.
What about like businesses like Smith College or L3Harris, Coca-Cola? How do they contribute to the city budget?
Yeah, so for-profit businesses like Coca-Cola or L3Harris pay property tax, Coca-Cola they're winding down, but they pay water and sewer and stormwater fees, which is the other part of the budget I'll get to in a minute. And Smith College does not pay property taxes except on things that are not part of their core educational mission. But they do pay water and sewer and stormwater fees.
And all the people who work at Smith College who live in Northampton or students that go to Smith College that are paying meals taxes if they eat out or property taxes if they live in Northampton.
Yeah, certainly. So that's the general fund. Now we shift over to the enterprise funds, and we have four enterprise funds. They are water, sewer, stormwater, and solid waste. And they're called enterprise funds because essentially they operate as a business. They are a closed system in that the money that comes in the form of, say, water fees that you pay based on usage and just for having a connection goes into the fund, and everything that it takes to run a water system comes out of the fund.
Okay. Enterprise, like it's a business enterprise that should pay for itself. Enterprise, like the spaceship enterprise.
Yeah, no. Enterprise, like it's a business enterprise that needs to be self-sustaining. I mean, it doesn't have to turn a profit. Okay. Any surplus that it has during the year goes into a reserve fund. And so that can help weather difficult times, or it can pay for big projects, of which there's a lot in those funds. Because we have an infrastructure, our water, sewer, stormwater infrastructure, that is over 100 years old in many cases, and those pipes break. There was a water main break here in Ward 5, just down the hill from the hospital, that cut off water to a neighborhood for not that long. Fortunately, they were able to repair it. But it takes a long time to fix these, and it can be very expensive.
Is that what's going on by St. Mary's, where there's like the police detail, traffic detail by the St. Mary's Cemetery, by the corner of like North Elm, Hatfield? Whenever you go on the bike path on the rail trail across there, and I saw a whole bunch of water gushing down through there the other day.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know about that one. I usually only get informed if it's right in Ward 5, and that's slightly outside of. If there's a lot of water, that's likely, although the gas company also is doing a lot of replacements around the city. So a lot of the details are that you see in the work is because that gas replacement. And then the solid waste fund, similarly, people pay permits and they pay for the bags, and that has to even out. And there's some additional income, like the old landfill, there's a lease there for a cell tower, and there's other things like that provide some income for those enterprises, but mainly they're self-sustaining.
Okay. Yeah, because like the annual permits at Locust Street went up to $75 a year this year.
Correct. And it looks like, based on the data we have, that has made the system be the solid waste enterprise funds balance in a way that it wasn't. It was losing money each year, and they had to draw from reserves, but at least from the preliminary data, it looks like that it has made up the difference.
Hopefully, if people will keep buying the permits and not just decide to do something else.
Right.
The Enterprise Fund, water, sewer, storm, water, solid waste.
Correct.
Okay.
So those add up to some $20 million, something like that, a year.
Okay. So that $20 million, though, it's all enterprise fund. So that $20 million is already spent. It's already accounted for, right? I mean, that's
each year
enclosed system, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's not money. It's not like the funding of those enterprises, of those water, sewer, stormwater, solid waste, the funding of those is sort of separate from the other budget where you get to decide what to do with it or how to prioritize it.
Well, I mean, the enterprise funds, you do have to decide what to do with it. We approve, the city council approves each of those separately from the general fund. Okay. So that's certainly, but it must be within the scope of that fund.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's, you know, for example, there's the sewer. We just borrowed $22.5 million for upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant. And these are not optional upgrades.
Yeah.
You know, these are, this system must function. It must function, you know, 24 hours a day. Often it's very, the decisions that we have to make are because state regulators or EPA or DEP say that we must. So there's a lot of choices that are out of our hands. It's very important that each of these funds remain solvent and have sufficient reserves to be able to address the necessary infrastructure that is required. There's a story from July 2023, when the Connecticut River was cresting at in flood stage. And the only thing that keeps the Connecticut River from basically flooding into the wastewater treatment plant, into Ward 3, is that we have pumps. And they are pumps from the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And they have been, you know, meticulously maintained. But they must function.
Yeah.
And so when the water gets high enough, those pumps have to run all the time to keep the water out.
What are they running on? Electricity with a gas generator backup, I wonder?
Gasoline and diesel, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And in July 2023, there was a crisis in, and I don't remember the whole details of it, but essentially it was not functioning as it should. And we had to make sure those pumps were in operation and running. And things came remarkably close to a disaster that would have, you know, incapacitated the wastewater treatment plant and caused flooding throughout that area. So it's very important that we fund these and that we have the reserves to be able to fund them and have the balance between taking on debt so that we can fund something we can build something right away, and having the reserves also to make sure that, you know, if something big comes up, that we're able to fund. Part of that, whenever you take on debt, you increase your operating costs because you have to pay that debt service. You have to pay it off.
The interest.
Plus interest.
Debt service plus interest.
Debt service is principal and interest.
Oh, okay.
So you have to have a right balance between spending from things right away in cash and taking on debt.
I can't help myself but say, well, you know, the wastewater treatment plant, it is necessary to make sure that thing works. But the Northampton Health Department also has approved this composting toilet at the Florence Community Gardens. So wastewater treatment plants aren't inherent to human civilization necessarily.
Yes, and that would be it would be fabulous if we had more composting toilets in the city, both because it would save people money in water usage and sewer fees, but also it would reduce the need for us to maintain these enormously complex and expensive systems.
Yeah, great. Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to an interview with Alex Jarrett, Ward 5 City Councilor. Alex is also the president of the Northampton City Council. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. And, you know, since we're talking about budget, we're going to take a little musical break and listen to one of my favorites. Thanks, Abba. Back to talking about the budget with Ward 5 City Councilor Alex Jarrett. So, Alex, we talked about how ways that the money comes in through the general fund and also how it goes and comes in and goes out in the enterprise fund. What are the reserves and capital spending? What does that even mean?
Sure, yeah. So, we have some reserves and... our reserves, our total reserves right now, actually, I think this was as of July, in our enterprise funds is $17.4 million. So that sounds like a lot. Most of that is the sewer reserve, $12.4 million. And we have, as I said, we have... debt that we've taken on, and that's going, some of those reserves will help pay for the debt service on that. And also we have $7.5 million in additional sewer projects coming up. And then in our general fund reserves, we have $16 million, and there's several different funds. We have a special education fund, a fiscal stability fund, a general stabilization fund, a climate fund, and a capital stabilization fund. But the main concept is that you will have enough to weather difficulty if things do not come in as anticipated, and specifically in the climate stabilization fund, that's something that we've built up very recently, and we used a lot of COVID relief funding to start that fund, and we have planned over the next few years a number of climate related plans, and there's two ways that we think about climate funds. One is addressing the challenges that are happening because of climate change, increased storms, temperature, heat waves, and all of that difficulty. And then we think about how can we contribute, how can we reduce our carbon emissions, and then at the same time make things more efficient. And environmentally better, like in terms of buildings. So we just did a whole change at the Leeds Elementary School. There's one of the boilers was not functioning, and we've switched to heat pump systems and that includes energy recovery ventilators. It means now that the school can have air conditioning, which is with climate change, we can see that, the season, it gets hot even when school is still in session. And so that assists as well. So that's some of the things that are planned with reserves, but in general, we want our reserves to be healthy and on a recommended level by what the state is recommending and what we think is wise. But we spend from reserves and we add back. And I'll talk a little bit more going forward of how we will not have as much money to put into reserves in the future. That's a basic concept. Do you have questions about reserves?
No, you can go on to the next thing, capital spending.
Yeah. But I did want to say, $16 million can sound like a lot. Uh-huh. But say, our total budget's $120 million. What if you drop three zeros off of that and it's $120,000 a year? So that there are many households that make that much money. Uh-huh. It would, and if they were to have $16,000 in their savings for unexpected situations, that seems pretty reasonable, or actually pretty low, because it doesn't carry you for that long if you have a drop in your income.
Yeah. I just got distracted a minute thinking about, you say about the air conditioning at Leeds Elementary School?
Yeah.
Did they not have it before?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Good for them. I grew up without air conditioning too.
Yeah,
but
it was
school.
A different climate.
I was down south and never had air conditioning. All right. So go on. What's next? Capital spending.
Capital. So what is capital? So buildings, vehicles, roads, sidewalks, pipes, underground, all the underground stormwater infrastructure. All of those things are capital spending. They're things that are going to last more than, I think it's 5 years is the threshold. It might be 10. Mm-hmm. I forget the exact amount, but they're going to last longer than something you're just going to spend in a year. And if you don't spend, if you spend less than is needed on capital, you usually are deferring maintenance. So, which costs more later because you have a degraded infrastructure that you then have to usually do extra work to fix.
Yeah.
So only if you were to give up a resource completely, say sell a building, like the building we're in right now. This used to be an elementary school, and now it's the Florence Community Center, and the city surplus that and no longer has to invest in it. And So only if you give up on a resource can you permanently reduce a capital expenditure. Otherwise, you're just deferring.
Okay. It's like if you don't lube your chain, or if you don't replace your chain when it starts to stretch a little bit on your bicycle, then you got to replace your chain, your cassette, your chain rings, the whole thing, and that's expensive.
That's the idea. Yeah, so I have heard some say, well, we need to spend less on capital projects and spend more on roads and sidewalks. And I think they're not understanding the definition of capital projects includes roads and sidewalks.
Yeah.
And one thing I've appreciated about Mayor Shara in the last few years is how much she has increased the funding for these essential capital needs, roads and sidewalks. And that's an attempt to get ahead of decades of deferred maintenance, where we essentially did not have the funding to pay for roads and sidewalks, and we let things go. And now, with since 2014, with the Mayor Narkowitz's fiscal stability plan, which I can get into if we have time. There has been more consistent funding, including more consistent funding for capital. We've also had COVID relief funds. This is $22 million that came to us once, and we can spend on certain things.
So there's still some left?
There is still some left, but we have appropriated it for all of the things that, most of it we've either spent or we've appropriated it for example, redoing the water and sewer lines under Main Street. Mm-hmm. Over 100 years old, will certainly fail if we do any construction, but need to be replaced anyway. Otherwise, you're going to have catastrophic breaks downtown. Mm-hmm. And so we set aside $3 million for that from COVID relief funds. So this has caused our reserves to be higher than usual, than they have been, and higher than they will be in the future, because we put some money into there, but now we will need to draw from those reserves to fund capital needs, or say if the federal government follows through on threats of cutting education funding, we're going to have to put that money in. We've already seen cuts to our Health and Human Services Department because of federal cuts. Mm-hmm. So that's some on reserves and capital. Did you have questions about capital?
Well, no, but I was going to ask, that was in my mind, like in terms of where the money comes from, the general fund, enterprise fund, what about the state money and federal money, and how does the whole, federal unknowingness of what federal money Northampton might or might not have affect the whole budget scenario?
Right. We make our best guess in making a budget, and we make sure that we have some money ready if we need to plug a hole. But what we've had to, with Health and Human Services, we've been able to make up some of that. But we are not expanding the division of community care in the way that we wanted to because of lost grants.
Yeah. For people who may not even be aware of the division of community care, could you just say what that is?
Yeah, sure. It is it's both an alternative response for to the police and to fire EMS. And it's also a resource. It's a resource downtown. They have a storefront in the Roundhouse Plaza where people can go and connect with resources that they need, and then they also go out into the community and respond they are one of the responses that when you call dispatch, whether it's 911 or not the non-emergency line, they're one of the responses that can be called upon and they often respond to people in mental health crisis or dealing with the challenges of homelessness or substance uses. But they're really about connecting people to all the resources that they need.
Yeah, yeah. I've interacted with them before and asked for their help before, and it's nice to have someone to call that's not going to come, that's not going to come armed, and it's not going to, it's not an emergency situation. It's not like a time sensitive situation. It's like, I just need some help to figure out a situation. I don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. And having someone who knows how to connect people with resources and options is very nice. What is that number? Do you know that number off the top of your head? I have to look it up.
I can't remember.
Division of Community Care.
Search for Division of Community Care, that should be easy to find.
Well, Alex, I'm talking with Alex Jarrett here, Ward 5 City Councilor here in Northampton. Time for a musical break. There's some Aloe Black.
Allo Black released that song in 2010. And in 2010, that's a dollar was a dollar. In 2025, a dollar from 2010, you would need to spend $1.50 in order to get the same, yeah, you know, the buying power of a $1.50 is equal to a dollar in 2010. So it really should be, I need $1.50. $1.50 is what I need. So that brings me to the perfect storm of pressures on the budget. One of those is inflation. Things have increased by that much just since 2010. And that is translates to inflation in wages, in equipment, both for the city and for us personally as people paying taxes. The other is state funding. And over a similar period of time, about 20 years ago, state funding was in the 20% of our budget. Mm-hmm. So the state paid for 20-some percent of our budget. Now that's in the teens. And that decline, which is mostly in school funding, means we have to make up for it or we have to cut services. Mm-hmm. And so that means we have to do property tax increases. We're limited by the state to 2.5% per year, unless the voters vote to authorize what's called a Proposition 2.5 override, which we have done several times. So that's one of the reasons. So the other, COVID relief ended. The schools were getting money from that. We got money from that. We are not getting that anymore. So that's another pressure. And then charter schools, we have $3 million that goes out every year. Our costs do not decline by that much because we still have all the buildings. We still have so many resources that we have to fund here. And I would add that our special education needs are higher than many other districts. And however, we don't get reimbursed for any for having those higher needs.
Huh. Why do you think they're higher?
What makes
you think say that?
I mean, that's if you look at the data, that's what they are. But I'm not going to speculate on why.
That's not within the confines of this interview. There's a lot of things you want to get to. Yeah, there's a lot of things you want to get to that you're more informed about. So this perfect storm of budget pressures, inflation, COVID funds ended, $3 million a year going out in charter school funding. What else? What's next?
So that means in order to provide to continue to provide services, we have to spend a lot more. And we have a bunch of different levers that we can pull. And in terms of budgeting, we have certainly pulled those in the direction of putting more towards schools. It's gone up 32% in the last 3 years. And we've also attempted to maintain other services. And I wanted to make sure to communicate that. So how the difference between an operating budget and capital spending, and capital spending comes from the surplus in an operating budget. So we have our revenue, we have our expenses, and we purposefully aim for those expenses to be a percentage, 3-5% less than our revenue. So that means that we get, it was $6.5 million this past year. It's anticipated to be more like $4.5 million this year because we've pulled those levers in the direction of spending more, most and schools being the primary beneficiary, also fire rescue. And so what that means is we're going to have less to spend on our capital needs going forward. We're going to have less to put into reserves because surplus is also how you replenish your reserves. And that is both, it's a good thing in that we're spending money where it's needed now, but it's also a risky thing because will we have enough to meet our capital needs? And so there has to be a balance between what you spend on your operating and what you spend on your capital needs. And I think we've done what we can to without causing undue risk to shift that balance in favor of operating. But will that mean that we see a decline in our ability to maintain our infrastructure going forward? That's the risk.
Mm-hmm. So during the election season, well, there's always people that feel like the budget should be spent in other ways. Do you want to say anything about some of the different perspectives on the budget and like people unhappy about not enough being spent on the schools or that kind of thing?
Yeah, and this gets to back to what I was talking about in the beginning, where advocating for spending more on one thing and less on another makes math sense, right? Because you can say, okay, we're going to increase the school budget, we're going to decrease the police budget or the library budget or whatever it is that, and that's just a simple transfer. And you can also say, we're going to spend, which we've done, as I just explained, we're going to spend more on our operating budget, and which will leave less for capital spending. But if you want to fund it all at the levels that many are advocating for, the Support Our Schools organization, advocating for the strong budget, which would add quite a bit to the school budget in every year, and every year going forward is that would increase as wages and inflation increases. And you want to continue to maintain roads and sidewalks and fund the other essential services, then you need to raise taxes or find some other revenue source to pay for it. And I think that's the key, that in my opinion, what many candidates who are advocating for the strong budget for schools and all the other services, in my opinion, the only practical way to do that would be a very large tax override, mm-hmm. Which would raise the taxes of all the property owners, which would get passed on to rents. Mm-hmm. And I feel, I think we need to be more specific about what are non-essential services, what should we cut, and if we should cut capital expenditures, what capital needs in particular which should not be funded, and why should we believe these candidates instead of municipal finance experts with decades of experience when they are explaining the budget? Again, not about the priorities questions, not about the values and priorities. It's just about the math of how the budget works. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's my question. And I feel sad about it, because I do feel like it's based on a misunderstanding. I think we have common goals, and I hope we can come to the table with the understanding that of what I just explained,
yeah.
There are trade-offs.
Yeah.
There is no hidden money there. If we you know, we do have reserves, but because we're not going to be increasing them, we have to be very careful not to spend them down to nothing. And then what do we do then?
Yeah. Like, as someone who's been working on, been in city council for the last almost 6 years and trying to make these hard decisions for the big group of us who live in Northampton, I guess you said like you feel sad when you when people say things like, oh, the city's hiding money or they're not transparent about it.
Not that we can't do more to be more to work to educate and help people understand the budget better and everything in the city. I mean, I think having more, I've tried to do office hours and times every few months at the library where I get together with our school committee member, Ann Hennessy, and we meet with anyone who shows up. I think you came to one of those. Mm-hmm. I've had packed rooms there where we've talked about the budget. And, you know, I was asked tough questions. I gave tough answers. and that, I think that is really needed. Because we need to have these conversations, and we can't just have them in like a city council comment session is not a conversation.
Yeah.
It is one way of information, and we're not allowed to respond. And so until, I mean, we can respond in the meeting if it's something on the agenda, but it's not a conversation. And so having these more community conversations, I agree with candidates who are advocating for that.
Yeah. All right. You're looking at the clock. You're looking at your notes. You got something else on your notes you're excited about?
No. I've covered the basics of what I wanted to get across. But if you have any questions or if there's anything that's confusing, I'd love to clarify.
Okay. Well, every now and then I hear all these money words and I just like gloss over for a minute and then I lose my train of thought and I'm like, wait, what did I miss? Wait, I was supposed to have been paying attention. What about free cash? What is this whole free cash thing word that I hear floating around? Everybody wants free cash, right?
That's right. I use the word surplus.
Okay.
And I think that's easier to understand.
Oh, it's free as in liberated, not free as in gratis.
Right. That's a good point. Yes. Free as in speech, not as in beer. I don't know. But no, yeah. You could buy beer. No, probably not. yeah, so it's at the end of the year when we've added up, closed the books on the fiscal year, and the fiscal year ends on June 30th of every year. Then we look at, okay, what was our total revenue? What were our total expenses? The remainder becomes our free cash or the undesignated fund or simply surplus. And okay. we have a financial policy that we put some of that directly to capital. Some of that we hang on to in case anything comes up in the following year. And then some of that we replenish reserve funds because we've been drawing from reserve funds. And whether it's for capital needs or we've pulled millions from in the last 3 years, about 5 million from the fiscal stability fund, in order to fund, to make the school budget work as much as it has.
So I'm curious, what stresses you out the most when you think about the budget? Like, I guess you think about it as a city councilor trying to make good decisions for where you live. You maybe think about it as someone who lives here and pays property taxes. Well, what's the most stressful part of these budgetary decisions for you, would you say?
Yeah, it's balancing the needs, all the needs. You know, the school needs are very real, and we need to, but we're also funding at kind of the highest level that we can sustainably fund. And that's the key. If when you know, I've really gotten familiar with projections of financial projections and looking out over a 5-year period. And I've written about this in my newsletter, but it's on my website, alexjarrett.com. And in, I think it was the March newsletter in particular, went into detail in this spreadsheet and showed the different decisions we could make and what would happen in multiple years ahead. And So it has to be sustainable, but it's also painful because we want to make sure that everyone's needs are met. And it's very hard when some people's needs are not met, whether that's in the schools or whether that's in, you know, a sidewalk that a wheelchair user cannot travel on. Mm-hmm. And many, many other areas.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, times are tight, and just because we have really a little money in the bank does not mean that we have enough extra to sustain spending at a higher rate.
Yeah, I'm also thinking about how different people. Everybody has different lifestyles, expectations of what is normal in terms of how much money to spend or what to spend it on. And just thinking about differences just on a sort of a very small level, in my household, how some housemates might prefer to spend, their normal might be spending $100 a month, $200 a month on food. And my normal might be well, no, I can find that somewhere else. Anyway, just thinking about, how as a community, there's such different monetary priorities. It just seems mind-boggling to try and get everyone on the same page enough to get along to figure out how we spend our collective money.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, because we're trying to meet so many people's needs at least a minimum for everyone. And yeah, we have to have those conversations, and we have to have them from a realistic perspective about how much there is to spend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the time is running short for our 4 to 5 o'clock hour. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I was so engaged in talking with Alex that I forgot to mention I'm talking with Alex Jarrett, Ward 5 City Councilor. You're on Out There on WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton. Democracy Now! Comes on at 5 o'clock. That's in 5 or 6 minutes. Alex, so I just want to say one thing about last night's city council meeting that I only attended the public comment session of. There was some very tense moments during the public comment session about the resolution to divest from, what was it?
Yeah, so it was a resolution that to divest from companies that were complicit in human rights violations in Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, and there was a moment during public comment session when someone who was very distraught and angry was leaving the room. And someone, they made a sort of a distraught gesture towards someone as they walked out. And someone said, and it was very tense, and someone said something like, "I think we need security." And you, as the city council chairing the meeting, said, "We will continue the meeting."
Well, I had to figure out what was going on sort of outside of my range of view, which is always a challenge because it was happening in the back or, you know, out in the hall. I couldn't quite tell.
Yeah.
And so it appeared that things had resolved.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to call in the police if things are resolving. Yet it also you know, I want everyone to feel safe to be in this collective space that we share. Yeah. And that's always a challenge. One person came up to me and afterwards and suggested, well, maybe we need some sort of, you know, mediator or someone who will, you know, help defuse and lower, de-escalate tensions. Often, you know, calling the police does not de-escalate tensions, though sometimes that they are able to do that. But just the fact of an armed person coming in can be a challenge. So definitely something to think about. And it's always tricky to try to make these decisions on the fly when you're in front of 50 people who have very strong feelings.
Yeah. Anyway, I really appreciated your calm presence and 95% of the people there were just, yeah, it was a passionate night. Anything else you want to say on that?
We did. So this was a resolution to urge the mayor and the city's retirement board to divest from these companies. We did pass that resolution. The mayor did some research and determined that there were only two companies that we were still on this list that the American Friends Service Committee puts out. There were only two companies that we are invested in, and it would not be difficult to not invest in them. It was a very small amount of the city's resources. And I also encouraged, I like to take a yes and approach. I do support divesting from entities complicit in human rights violations in Israel and Palestine. And there are also a lot of other crises and human rights violations going on around the world. And I think we should not invest in any companies that are doing that, you know, that are complicit in human rights violations anywhere.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your work on City Council, Alex, for the last 5.5 years. We'll miss you as a constituent. I'll miss you being my city councilor when you retire at the end of the year.
Thank you.
But I'll be very happy for your next life. Thanks for listening to Out There today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now. Oh, yeah, Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie. I'll be in Kentucky for the next month. And I had a conversation today with someone in Boston that has a sailboat that's sailing to the Caribbean this fall, who he found me through findacrew.net, and we talked on the phone today for a while. Maybe I'll sail to Puerto Rico and visit my niece. Maybe I'll sail to Trinidad. Maybe I'll just get seasick and go home and vomit.